All right. I want you tonight to turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, please. Joshua, chapter number 1. And I'm going to read two verses of Scripture. The first two verses I'm going to read in Joshua chapter number 1. Let's stand together whenever you found that as we honor the Word of God. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land that I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And now, my Father, I have arrived at a point where the arm of my flesh will fail me, but if the power of God will come upon me, then I claim it by faith. I claim victory by faith. I claim unity by faith. I claim your power by faith. I'll bless you, and I'll praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'll give you glory. And all God's people said, amen. You be seated tonight. I want to say this. I do not believe in prophets. I believe that people that claim to be prophets, they are liars. Because the Bible is very clear, when that which is perfect is come to pass, the Word of God, then that which is temporal, prophecy, shall come to pass. We read in the book of Revelation that whenever the revelation commences, that God will once again give the gift of prophecy back to the 144,000 Jews as they prophesy to the nation of Israel. But during this course of time, God is not using the office of a prophet, but He is using the ministry of the prophets. Because a prophet was nothing more than one who was so close to God that he could hear the voice of God and would give it to the people. I do not believe in prophets, and let me remind you, those guys on television that claim to be prophets so-and-so, and they claim to be messengers so-and-so, they are liars. They are liars from the pit of hell, and they are listening to an angel of light, and they are listening to a lying spirit, and they are sent to deceive you. I don't know and doubt that they're saved, but I do know that the devil himself can masquerade as an angel of light. And whenever one of them says, send you $29.99, save your money. If you need a message, send me $19.99, save $10, and I'll give you a message, and we'll just call it Even Stevens. Say amen right there. I'm just telling you that people take advantage of ignorance among the body of Christ. And I do not want to pastor a people. You people know that God speaks only through the Word of the living God. But this is what I do know. While I do not believe in the gift of the prophets, I do believe that there are men and women that live so close to God and walk so closely with the Holy Spirit of God that God reveals things to them about His church. I have met one of those men, and one of those men has been a great help to me in the last few weeks. He is a man by the name of Daniel Buchanan. I have known of Daniel Buchanan. I have heard of Daniel Buchanan, but it was not until recently that I got to have one-on-one time with Brother Daniel. Brother Daniel has begun to text me, call me, and encourage me. You all know that over the last several months, the last 10 months, that I have been in a wrestling match with God Almighty, day in and day out, trying to decide and decipher what it is that God would want us to do. I knew that the cloud had not moved. I knew that the pillar of fire had not moved. I knew that God was not ready for us to do anything yet. So when you don't know what to do, you stand still and do nothing. because you can be like Joshua is going to in just a few hours and try to go up to Ai and take it. But if God be not with you, just a few men will take out an entire army. I have been in a wrestling match with God. I've begged God. I've pleaded with God. And the other day, I was down at the tent, and I was down at the prayer meeting with the other pastors. And I encourage you retirees and those of you maybe that can steal an hour or two away to make every effort possible to come down there while the tent is up and to pray with us. I was down there and I knelt down. I knelt down in the shavings. I knelt down in the altar. And for the most part, nobody really knew me but those pastors that were just in the area. I knelt down there and once again, I commenced to a wrestling match with God. God, I know you want me to do something, but I don't know what it is. I know you want us to do something, but we don't know what it is. God, we're begging you. We're pleading with you. We've not had that breakthrough power. We've not had that unctionizing power. We've not had the moving of the power and the spirit of the living God. God has been working, but God has not busted down those brick walls of spiritual opposition. I said, God, I said, I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. I don't know how else to beg you, God. I don't know how else to say it, God. But God, I'm telling you right now, I've got to have you or I'm done. God, if you don't breathe on me, I'm through. God, I'm telling you right now, I'm quitting if you don't breathe on me. I will go to that church and I will tell them that I'm through because I refuse to go anymore if you do not go with me. I refuse to preach anymore if you do not preach with me. I refuse, brothers and sisters, to stand where God is not. And I refuse for every one of us to sing where God is not. And I refuse to worship where God is not. God began to reveal some things in my heart, some vows that I had made to God that I had not been keeping. And let me remind you of this. If you make a vow before the God of heaven, He expects you to pay that vow before the God of heaven. He revealed a vow to me and I repented. I said, God, I have been wrong. I have not been keeping that vow, but I will from this day forward keep that vow. All of a sudden, as I got up from those wood shavings, here comes old big Daniel Buchanan. If you've never seen him, he's about 9 foot 9 inches tall. He weighs about 450 on a good day. I mean, he's one of the biggest men that I think I have ever seen in all of my born days. He reminds me of that old man that used to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They called him the refrigerator. If that man was the refrigerator, Daniel Buchanan is the milk aisle at Ayers Teeter. Say amen right there. Here's what I know about Brother Daniel. I know as big as Brother Daniel is and as full of the God that he is, that he knows God as much as anybody that I have ever known in all of my born days. I believe that God, the reason God made him so tall was so that he could have more of the Holy Ghost of God filling his soul. He came by me and I got up on the altar. I rubbed the shavings off of my knees, rubbed it off of my shin bones where I'd been knelt down off of my blue jeans. He came over to me and he put his hands on me. He said, "Let me pray with you, son." He didn't know me from Adam. He didn't know me from the man next door. He looked at me and he said, "But before I pray," he said, "tell me your name." I said, "Brother Daniel, my name's Tyler Galdon. I pastor." He stepped back, dropped his hands off of me. He said, "Oh my God." He said, "There's Joshua." He said, "That's the Joshua that's been in my mind. That's the Joshua that's been in my heart." He said, "That's the Joshua." He said, "Your predecessor, Dr. Kanoi, he was Moses." He said, "That man knew the Bible." He said, "That man knew the Word." He said, "That man knew the law of God." But he said, "My boy," he said, "Moses is dead and those children are still wondering. And boy, he's raised you up to be a Joshua. He has raised you up, my boy, to march the people of God into the land." I got God bumps from the bottom of my foot to the top of my head, even now sitting here talking about it. I looked at that man. I said, "Son," I said, "you may be big, but you're crazier than three loons put together." He said, "My boy, I am not crazy." He said, "I have had dreams about you. I've had dreams about the God that's going to use you. I've had dreams about your church, and I have had dreams about what you're going to do." I said, "Well, here's what I know. I know, Brother Daniel, that if God is in it, then we can't do nothing about it, and God will do it. But if God isn't in it, then God won't have anything to do with it." He began to pray over me. Brothers and sisters, from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head, I felt God in me, on me, through me like I have not felt in a long time. And it reminds me of this little thought. I am not a charismatic. I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm not talking about tongue talk. I'm talking about something that you can verbalize and you can tell somebody else about. Because if you can't tell somebody else about it, it's not from the God of heaven. If you can't tell somebody else that God saved you, you may not know all the ins and the outs of theology, but if you can't tell God that, tell somebody else that there's a big God that came into a little old me and a little old me had to get out of the way because that big God got in me, honey, you didn't get the real thing. But if you know that there's a big God that got in a little you and a little you that got a hold of a big God, and that big God's going to take you to a big heaven, and that big heaven's going to be there for a big long time called eternity, then you're going to know you got something. I said, oh my Lord, I said, man, you know what? I've never prayed until this moment right here. I've never had somebody pray over me until this moment right here. I began to think, I said, this is what Paul was like when he would pray. I said, this is what the old timers were like when they used to pray, when they knew that there was a God and that God heard them and that God was listening and that God would hear them and he would answer. Can I ask you all a question? Is anybody else tired of going to church and feeling like the preacher doesn't believe that there is a God, feeling like there isn't a God that's going to hear their prayers? There is a God that can save anybody. I'm tired of dead, dry, cold religion. I'm telling you tonight, there's a God bubbling in my soul that's put 440 down in my spirit, and the devil can't pluck it out, and the world can't pluck it out, and the enemy can't pluck it out, and the church can't pluck it out, and the Baptist can't pluck it out, and nobody can pluck it out. I'm telling you, honey, there's a God in this world. There's a God in this eternity, and if you'll give your everything to him, he'll give everything he is back to you. I said, oh God, what is happening to me? And ever since he prayed over me, I cannot get out of my mind what he said. Joshua, it's time to move. Joshua, you've tarried here long enough. So I began to think, God, I know I'm not crazy. Let me back that up. God, I know I'm not committable. I'm crazy, but I'm not committable. God, you're going to have to show me. So God began to put in my mind Joshua chapter number 1. I began reading and I began thinking about it. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, on this side of the river, where they're at, on this side of the Jordan River, this is what you got to understand about Canaan land and Jordan in the book of Joshua. We've always heard just over in the glory land, just over in Canaan land. Canaan is not a picture of heaven. Canaan is a picture of the victorious Christian life. Because if Canaan is a picture of heaven, then we're going to have battles in heaven. And if Canaan is a picture of heaven, then we're going to have defeat in heaven. But the fact is, heaven is a picture of heaven, and Canaan is a picture of the victorious Christian life. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, follow me on this journey and see if you understand what I'm saying. Here come the children of Israel. They're down in Egypt, and they're down in bondage, and they're down under the hand of the king of Egypt. And God sends a deliverer. God sends an emancipator. God sends somebody to them when all they could do is say, God help. God sent a man down their way. And with the mighty working of his hand, he brought them out from under the strong hand of the king of the world. He brought them out of the land, and he marched them to a place called the Red Sea. They got to the Red Sea and they said at the Red Sea, if you don't part this away, we're dead. If you don't part this aside, we're done. If you don't part this away from us, we're out of here. And God said, you stand still and you see the salvation of the Lord. He said, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to deal with anything. I'm so tired of those glasses. I can't even see straight. Ophthalmology or no ophthalmology, blind or no blind, they're going in the flyers. They're going in the trash. I'm tired of dealing with them. I'm tired of looking at them. And my ADHD has about had all that it's going to take of them bad boys right there. Say amen is all I got to say. Honey, this is what I know. They come down to the Red Sea. God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know what God does? God says this. He says, boys, don't move, because your emancipator is going to do it all. Your deliverer is going to do everything. And God rolls back the Red Sea and they cross over the land. They cross over the sea and God delivers them. That's exactly what happens when you get saved. You were down under the strong hand of the enemy. You were down under the strong hand of Satan. You were down under the strong hand of the devil. And God sent the great emancipator of our soul, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, God's lamb, God's high priest. He sent the one that was fire by day, cloud by night, bread in the wilderness, water out of the rock, David's sling and David's stone, Elijah's sword and Gideon's sword. He was the priest's trumpet. He was
everything that he claimed to be and a whole lot more. He was Matthew's king. He was Mark's servant. He was Luke's man. He was John's God. He was the Acts baptizer. He was the Corinthian sanctifier. He was the Thessalonians king. He was the Galatian schoolman. He was the Galatian reformer and the Galatians emancipator. He was the Ephesian head. He was the Philippians joy. He was the Colossians all in all. He was Titus's pastor, and he was Timothy's leader, and he was Philemon's brother that sticks closer than anybody else. He was the Hebrews high priest, and he was the Hebrews better than everybody, better than Moses and better than Elijah and better than the angels and better than the covenant. He was better. He was James's good thing that comes down from God. He was Revelation's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was Leviticus's high priest. He was Numbers fire. He was Deuteronomy's great prophet. He was Joshua's captain. He was Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. He was Judges, Judges. He was Ruth's redeemer. Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Ruth. 1st, 2nd Samuel. He was Samuel's king. He was the king's king. He was everything that he claimed to be. Let me get off that because that's a rabbit trail that caught me. Let me just say this. Jesus is our emancipator. Jesus is our deliverer. He's the one that brought us out of the strong hand of the enemy, and he got us down the Red Sea, and he rolled the Red Sea back. You say, what's the Red Sea a picture of? The Red Sea is a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was in that tomb. There was no way he was coming out. The only way he's going to come out is if God gets in there with him and rolls the stone away and rolls the death away and rolls the hell away. But in that grave, 72 hours later, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost got in there with God the Son, and they had a reuniting once again as they gave a heavenly wake-up call on that third resurrection morning at dawn. He brought him up out of the grave. He stood up and said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore, and I got the keys of death, of hell, and the grave. So here come the children of Israel out past their salvation, and they get into the wilderness, which is a picture of God's processing plant. The wilderness is where God takes Egypt out of you and you out of Egypt. That is where God gets you alone with his law and purifies you and sanctifies you. You say, preacher, how long do I have to stay in the wilderness? As long as it takes to get Egypt out of you. Some people get to stay 10 days. Some people get to stay 40 years. However it is, God's going to get it out of you. And the day's going to come when God's going to bring you to the Jordan River. When you get to the Jordan River, you know what waits on the other side of the Jordan River? Victory waits on the other side of the Jordan River. Power waits on the other side of the Jordan River. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, but preacher, why do I want to cross the Jordan? I'm happy on this side. On this side of the Jordan, I've had victory. On this side of the Jordan, I've had battles. On this side of the Jordan, I've seen miracles. And let me just say this to the Church of Jesus Christ at Church Street. You and I, we're on this side of the river. We have not crossed over to where God wants us to be. This is not the end, but this is just the beginning. We have not arrived at that place. We have not made it where God wants us to be. We have not gotten to the place where God wants us to be. I know some of you have been in this church a long time, and you've seen it go up and you've seen it go down, and God's brought it back up, and you're saying, this is the best thing that I've ever seen. But don't get complacent. Don't get lazy on God. This is not where God wants us to go, and this is not what God wants us to do, and this is not where God wants us to be. You say, preacher, but we've seen victory. Yes, we have seen victory. I could not help but think, as Eric came down here and prayed with Stephen, I got to thinking, I got to crying over there. I said, God, there's an old drunk. There's an old drunk praying over a boy. You know why that old drunk's over to pray over that boy? Because there's a good God in heaven that came down one day and picked him up off a bar stool and saved his life. I go over here, Kevin on this side, and I look at Kevin where he used to be. I look at Kevin how he used to act, and I'm looking at Kevin now, how God's taken the world out of him and taken the devil out of him and taken the sins out of him, and God is sanctifying him over and over again. Up here on the front row, I got my buddy Corey. And Corey, 4 years ago, we were riding down the road the other day going to film a video with DR. We were in that little two-seater truck. I had a coffee cup in one hand. I had my seatbelt on because that man's as crazy as a two-headed loon. Say amen right there. I said, Corey, I said, son, do you know where you used to be 4 years ago today? I said, do you remember where you used to be about 4 years ago today? He said, preacher, I don't remember where I was, but I can tell you probably where I was. He said, I was probably on some bar stool somewhere or going to work hungover. He said, but this morning, preacher, I'm going with you down here to film a video on revival, and then I'm going to a tent meeting tonight, and tonight he's sitting up on the front front row with a pretty suit and a pretty tie and the ugliest socks I've ever seen in all my life, but I'm here to tell you tonight, he's up here. You know why? Because God has given victory and God has given grace and God has given mercy. But honey, let me remind you of this thing. God's not done giving victory. God's not done giving mercy and God's not done giving grace. You say, preacher, what do we find on this side of the river? Here's what we find. We find enough. How many of those Israelites said, well, it's good on this side of the river. We've got all the manna we want. We've got all the water we want. We've got everything that we could possibly want. How many of you know that that is the worst place in the world for a church to be? Where we say, God, we've got everything we want, need, and we don't want anything else. Oh boy. How many churches say, well, we filled the pews, we're good. How many people get in that bank account and they say, we've hit a level, nobody touch it. How many people say, no, preacher, don't do that. We like it the way things have always been. Because on this side of the river, we've always had enough. You say, preacher, why do we want to cross the river? Here's why. Because on this side of the river, we've had miracles. But on that side of the river, there's more miracles awaiting. On that side of the river, there's Goliaths that have to be slain. On that side of the river, there's walls that are going to come crashing down. On that side of the river, there are people that are going to fall down at the feet of the good God of eternity. You say, preacher, why do we want to take the journey and go across that way? I'll tell you why. Because we've seen victories on this side. We've seen Corey saved, and we've seen Eric saved, and we've seen Dennis is saved, and Rose is saved. We've seen Kevin's get right. We've seen families come back together. But ladies and gentlemen, do you realize out there in this world, there are more DRs waiting. There are bar stools tonight that are full of people that are trying to drown away their pain. They're trying to suck down their sorrows at the end of a bottle. They're trying to smoke their way to happiness. There are men tonight that are so overwhelmed with the pains of their childhood and the defeats of their childhood and the depravity of their childhood that they'll go and drunken themselves tonight. And they'll go, oh God, and they'll go home tonight to some room and there'll be some little boy that cowers behind the couch somewhere. Because daddy's going to come in and is going to use him for a punching bag. There's some little girl tonight that's going to go to a room and lock her door and get in the fetal position and suck her thumb because her daddy's so drunk and he's going to come in and he's going to abuse her and he's going to molest her and he's going to hurt her. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why we want to cross the river, because on the other side of the river, we may have found Corey on this side, but we're going to find 10 Corys on the other side. We may have found your family on this side, but God's got 10 more families on the other side. We may have beaten the Amalekites on that side of the river, but on the other side of the river, he's not just going to take down the Amalekites, but he's going to take down the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and all the otherites that get in God's way. You know why? Because a group of people got a hold of God and said, God, I'm crossing over the river. I'm going to the other side. I'm not happy with the victories on this side. I'm going over to the other side and I'm ready to cross over the river. Honey, I'm telling you tonight that I'm not going to be happy until every barroom has closed its door. You say, they're going to be mad at you, honey. Let Budweiser, Anheuser, and all them other Nisers get mad at me. But I'm telling you tonight, there's a God pumping in my soul that their beer can't drown away. There's a God pumping in my heart that conviction will go after them. I'm telling you, there's a God, and we will not be satisfied until every pool hall, until every billiard hall. You say, they're not sinful. Well, take Jesus in there and see how sinful he is. I'm telling you tonight, I'm tired of making excuses. I'm tired of piddling over things that don't matter, getting picking stitches and picking hairs over things that don't matter over here, but covering up the sins of this world on this side. I'm telling you tonight, I don't care if you wear long pants, blue pants, purple dresses, purple skirts. I don't care if you have purple hair, green hair, blue hair, purple hair, green hair, blue hair, purple hair, green hair, blue hair, purple hair, green hair, blue hair. But this is what I do care about. Has Jesus Christ washed away your sin? Has Jesus Christ cleansed your life? Has Jesus Christ change your heart? Has Jesus Christ emancipated your heart? Has Jesus Christ changed your home? I'm telling you tonight, I'm not going to be happy until every prostitute is off of the street and inside of a house that can give her grace and give her mercy. I'm not going to be happy until I have to go to no more Kaylee funerals and preach over the casket of a 21-year-old that the devil has wreaked and the devil has ravaged. I'm not going to be happy until I stand one day in God's eternal city with hands lifted up, up, people saying, "Preacher, you didn't give up, man of God. You didn't throw down the towel, man of God. You didn't let a couple battles get you down." You say, "Preacher, what you going to find when you go inside of that place? I'm going to find miracles. I'm going to find victory. I'm going to find more than enough, because out there we had manna. In there we got milk and honey. Out there we got a few rocks. In there we got cows that can put off milk 3 times a day. You say, "Preacher, what do we got in there?" We got juniper trees and the grapes of Ishkal that we're not going to be able to put in our pocket, but we're going to have to carry a vine of them on a broomstick all the way back to the camp. I'm telling you tonight, brothers and sisters, inside on the other side of the river, there is more than enough. But you know what we're going to find when we get on the other side of the river? That there's a God, dear God in heaven, that there's a God on the other side of that river. I said, "Brother Daniel, I'm so afraid, preacher. Oh, preacher, man, I'm so afraid. Oh, preacher," I said, "I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose my wife. I don't want to lose my youngins. Oh, I don't want my babies to be a DR. I don't want them to be so scared and so pained by the people in this world and the people in the church." Old Daniel, he billowed in that big old belly laugh. He said, "Ha, ha, 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 boy." He said, "You got nothing to worry about." He said, "But don't get afraid when you don't seek God." I said, "Hold on, big man. You're going to have to run that by me again." I said, "What do you mean I can't get afraid when I don't seek God?" He said, "You're not going to seek God a whole lot." I said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 tell me why you're telling me I'm not going to see God." He said, "You're not going to see God because the captain of your salvation's already gone out in front of you, and he's already fighting the battle for you before you get there. He's already fighting with the Lord's host, and he's going to be out in front of you." You say, "Preacher, I can't find God." Honey, you ain't going to find him because he's already won battle ahead of you. You say, "Preacher, I don't know where he's at." He's already won battle ahead of you. You say, "Preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do." Just keep on marching, because he's already won battle out in front of you. "I'm not going to see God. I may not feel God, but I'm going to march on because he told me to march on." Now, what do we do? I said all that to say this. We're at the banks of the Jordan. What do you do? Well, you wait. You wait. Because if I get in the Jordan right now, it's swelling above the tide and I'll drown. You see, I've got to wait on God to roll back the waters. Because until God rolls back the waters, last time I checked, I can't. I don't have the power to roll back waters. I don't have the power to stop up the river. I don't know if you've ever been to the Jordan River, but when the Jordan River runs over in the time of monsoon there, it would take 45 beavers a month and a half to dam up the river. You couldn't do it because it will go out and around the river. The only thing that can stop the river is when a holy God takes his finger and plugs the hole. So here we are, God. We're waiting. I got a hold of God the other night and I said, "God, here we are. We're ready. I'll be your Joshua. I'll go. What do I do?" He said, "Stand there until I tell you to." So here's my message to you tonight. What do we do while we're waiting? You thought I was going to come to you tonight and tell you we need to buy something. We ain't got no money. You thought I was going to come to you tonight and tell you that we needed to redo this. We've pretty much done everything we can do. Every time we redo something new, lightning strikes and destroys it, so I'm done redoing stuff. I'm through. I got 4 brand new speakers. One of them works. I got 2 microphones that work. Poor Brother Don's up there doing everything he can to keep the demons and the devils out. I got rats in my house, snakes under my house. I'm doing everything in my power. I can't control it. All I can do is wait. God, what do I do while I wait? And he said, "All right, now you're ready." Number one, this is what you do while we wait. You realize. You realize. You say, "Preacher, what do you realize?" Well, you look back at verse number 2. Look at the first phrase. Moses, my servant, is what? Dead. What a shocking statement to make to the Jewish people. Their emancipator's gone. The one that they look to is not there anymore. God, the one that guided us, is gone. God made that statement because it's what he's telling them. Folks, it's time to let go of the past and march toward the future. I began to pray about this today, and I began to think about it in my office. And I said, God, what in the world do you want us to realize? And I heard that big, gruff voice of Dr. J. William Canoy as he said, people, it's time to march. Let go of the yesteryear and start pressing forward to what God has for us today. Moses, my servant, is dead. Billy Kelly is gone. Brother Canoy is in heaven. Ralph Sr., he's gone. What do we do? We realize that the man may be gone, but the God of the man is not gone. And the God that made those men is the God that can make these men. You've got to realize that God is not dead. You've got to realize. Number two, we've got to unify. Unify. Can I tell you something tonight? Joshua's there on the banks of the Jordan. He says, all right, boys, get your tent poles, get your tents ready, get your swords to battle. Get everything you've got. And I want you to imagine what Joshua hears behind him. All of a sudden behind him, he hears everybody clanking their swords and clanking their poles. And he hears somebody yelling at somebody else saying, let go of my tent pole. That's my tent pole. Don't touch that tunic. That's my tunic. Judas touched my lamb. That was my lamb. Don't tell me your stuff touched my stuff. Can you imagine what Joshua would have said? He'd have said, boys, get over it. And grow up. I feel like saying that to some in the church tonight. Get over it and grow up. All right, I hit a little resistance. I got a big engine. I'm going to put that back and forward. And let me say it again. Get over it and grow up. You say, preacher, they hurt me. God gave me a word for you today. If it wasn't big enough for you to go to them first, it isn't big enough for you to talk about it with anybody else. If it didn't bother you so bad that you had to go talk to them, why in the name are you talking about it with everybody else? I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said in Matthew 18, if you've got aught with your brother, you go to your brother. If you've got a problem with somebody else, go to them. Go to them. But you know what the devil will tell you? Nah. Get a bunch of people on your side. Let them know that you were right. Let them know that you had it going on. Let them know that you got it. And the whole time, we're clanging tent poles back here and we're fighting over whose stuff touched whose stuff. But you know what the God of heaven says? He says, get over it and move on. It's time for us to unify in the church. It's time for us to unify in the whole camp. Can I say something tonight? We are not at war with any other Bible-believing church or preacher. Amen. Not another one. I don't care if they cross their I's, dot their T's. I don't care if they wear if they don't wear a tie, or if they wear flip-flops, or if they wear a three-piece suit, or if they have the gold this, or a blue that, or a purple this, or a hand-picked that. I don't care. If they believe the King James Bible, and they preach the Word of the living God, and they believe the tenets of our faith, they are our brother, they are our sister, they are our fellow believers, and we are to treat them with the utmost respect, and we are to treat them as they are, as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and we're to unify. Look, I have no ought with any brother of mine. I began to pray. We have our Jubilee that's coming up. I began to pray. I said, now, God, you know this Burlington revival's going on, and I'm not going to do anything to fight against it. God, if that's where you're at, that's where I'm going to be. God, if that's where you're moving, that's where I want to be. So I began to pray. I said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, call the preachers and the singers, and if one of them has a problem, do the Jubilee. I said, all right. So I called the preachers and I called the singers. I called every preacher and I said, brother, Listen. I said, there's enough men that are against Brother CT that I don't want anybody to think that I'm against CT. So if you would be okay, I'm going to cancel our Jubilee so that we can support the Burlington Revival. Every single preacher, without exception, said, absolutely, no problem, I wouldn't have come anyways. I said, well, good, because we're not having it anyways. So that was the preachers. So I called the singers, because you all know singers are funny people too. And they can get their stuff just a little bit kinked up sometimes. So I said, God, you're going to have to really do some moving on this thing. I said, God, and we'll call them. So I called one group. I called them and they said, preacher, no problem. We wanted to be at the Burlington Revival, and that was going to be the only night that we could go, so we'll be down there. And then I had this other big group coming in, and I thought, boy, if anybody's going to get mad, it's going to be this group. Boy, if anybody's going to get mad, it's going to be these people. So I called them. I said, brother, it's Tyler Galton, Pastor Church Street Baptist Church. I want to talk to you about our Jubilee. God told me not to have it because we want to support the Burlington Revival. That man over the phone, he said, preacher, I believe with all of my heart that is the will of God as well. Because you understand, brothers and sisters, this isn't about Church Street. It's about Jesus. Amen. This thing isn't about Tyler Galden. It's about Jesus. This thing isn't about this or that. It's about the holy God of eternity, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's time for us to unify. I believe tonight there are some of us that need to get right with one another. I'm tired of playing. I'm tired of joking. I'm tired of monkeying around with you. You need to get right with your brothers and sisters tonight. If you have aught in your heart, the Bible says, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, God will not hear your prayers. I'm telling you tonight, if you've got a problem with another preacher, another person, another brother or sister in Jesus Christ, the Bible is very clear, you are not right with God, plain and simple. Go make it right. Amen. I wonder what it would have been like when they stepped into the Jordan. And the waters closed up. And Joshua said, why? And that man said, it was because I had aught with my brother. He said, preacher, what are we supposed to do? Realize, unify, last one, purify. I said, Brother Daniel, I want you to listen to me, brothers and sisters. I said, Daniel, I said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to miss God. I'm afraid the church ain't going to make the right decision, whatever we have to do. He said, son, don't be afraid. God will show you. I said, but Brother Daniel, what do I need to do in the meantime? And this is exactly what he told me. He said, get as clean and close to God as you possibly can. You in your life, God may have you on the cusp of something. There are some of you, God has put the burden to pray in your soul, and you're begging God to take you higher and take you further, and you want to know what to do. Simple. You wait on God and get as clean and close to God as possible. There are some wives in this room, and you have prayed and prayed and prayed. God, I've not been the wife I ought to be. I know there's something missing in my soul, but I don't know what it is. And God hasn't delivered you and taken you to that. And you say, preacher, what do I do? That's simple. You wait on God, but in the waiting, you get as clean and close to God as you possibly can get. I believe tonight, while we're waiting on God to roll back the Jordan, you say, preacher, what are we going to do? We're just going to stand here. You say, we ain't got time. We've been in the wilderness 40 years. Ain't no need to get rushing about this thing now, Joshua said. God's been good to us to this point. Why rush? What God's doing for most of you, though,
is before God will let you cross, God is cleansing you so that you can fight when you cross. The reason some of you, God hasn't given you the better marriage that you're desiring is because there's some things you need to clean up in your own heart. And God needs to deal with you about it. There are some of you, you want to be a Sunday school teacher that impacts and God uses and changes people. And God's saying, got it. But while you're waiting, you need to deal with some stuff in your own life. Some of you want so bad to be a singer that when you sing, God is all over you. And I can promise you tonight, God will use you. God's never found anybody that was willing to be used that God wouldn't use. But you know what you got to do? You got to get ready and get clean and close so that when you cross, you're ready for the fight. Because you know what's waiting on the other side of the river? Giants. Demons. Opposition. We have not yet seen what is going to come. Some of you have been fighting the devil in your home because you're a part of this church. Some of you have been at fault with your loved ones because you're a member of this church, and the devil is sowing that into your family. You've got to know what's going on. I wonder tonight how many of you would come and just say, God, whenever you get ready for me to cross, it may not just be in the church. It may be at home. It may be in your life. It may be as a daughter, as a son, as a wife, as a husband. God, I know it's like it's out there and it's dangling before me, but God, make me ready. Cleanse me right now. Take out and show me anything that's there. Get it out so that when I cross, I'm ready to go. Father, now I've done what you told me to do tonight. Now you take it from here. In Jesus' name. Let's stand all over the building tonight. Brother Jimmy's going to play and sing. There you go. God bless you. Hallelujah. Look at that. That's it. Come on. Come on. God clean me out. Hallelujah, young lady. Amen. Amen. Miss Ashley, I want you, will you pray right there, sis? Pray right here. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Amen. 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 Let me get a few ladies right here, if I can, right here to pray. Right there to pray. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, my, my, my. Oh, my. Miss Dawn, will you just pray with this young lady? God bless you. I'm ready to cross, Jesus, whenever you are. I'm ready to cross, but God, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. While I wait, I'm going to purify. While I wait, God, I'm going to get ready. Sing for us, Brother Jimmy. Sing, my brother.
It's hard to make the first step, but I don't know the way. Each turn is so uncertain, but I learned to walk by faith. But you gave me the promise that you would never leave. You will lead and guide me, Lord, I do believe. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, and I will go. You have called me, now I will answer. For me are perfect. I never need to fear. Though at times I feel alone, God, I know that you are near. My heart just longs to follow, and I'm willing to obey. Take my hand and lead me, Lord, I'll follow all the way. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. have called me, and I will answer. Lead me, Lord, and I will go.
Heavenly Father, we love you. Oh God, we need you. We need you. I pray now that as your people wait, because God, there's a city out in front of us. There is a city before us, oh God, that we're ready to take. Greensboro is first. God, you can shake it and shape it and mold it. I pray, my God and my Father, you'll have mercy. Give us the city. Take us over when we're ready. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. I want everybody to stand right quick. We're going to do something. I'm going to make a video. Is it live already? Hallelujah. Get some.